Hello and welcome to episode 44 of the Freo Big Footy Podcast. This week we'll be going back over the previous game against the Brisbane Lions, where Fremantle ended up being comfortable winners. And then we'll have a look at the big upcoming clash against Port Adelaide, where Fremantle will put its top four spot, or top four aspirations, on the line. And certainly will be a cracking early start to the final series. Joining us this week is our usual Victorian expert, and just come back from his trip to Brisbane. Seppo, how are you, mate?
Good evening, Centurions, and how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks, mate. Obviously, you got the up-close look last week at the boys against the Lions. What did you think up there?
Yeah, it was a fantastic trip up to Brisbane. Great weather while I was up there. They did expect a bit of a shower or two, but it was a great contest, and got a bit nervous when I heard Pav was out last minute, but certainly seeing Walters and Ballas out there was fantastic, and great to see that Daniel Pearce got involved in his 200th game.
Yeah, absolutely. I gather he gave your banner the little bypass, though, as usual, did he, mate?
No, he actually ran through it. This is the first time he said he's ever gone through it, probably because he had the kids with him. But, yeah, he went through the milestone banner, and I got a chance to present him with something, a little cheer squad do after the game. And, yeah, he was quite grateful. It was good to see him actually run through the banner this time.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen him run through the banner at all. Most home games and stuff, you never always see him run around. Belly used to be the same as well. He never ran through the banner. But so what else what did you think of the contest up there? I mean, Fremantle obviously got off to a good start. I mean, they sort of missed a few wayward shots at goal, but they were certainly dominating the play early and really didn't give up.
I was really worried with those inaccurate kicking early on. The fact that we finished with 15-16 really was sort of an indictment on how much we actually attacked and should have put more pressure on in that first quarter. A lot of missed shots, and a lot of them were from wide positions. Like, I noticed Tabernard leading out to the deep into the pockets, and not too many centred kicks, yet Ballantyne was always one that was, instead of having a shot, that he'd look to centre it. So a lot of missed opportunities there to put a massive margin on the score, but you've got to be happy with the result in the end, and just the way that the guys sort of faded out. You could see they were happy with a 30 or 40-point margin. They just, put it into cruise control for the last quarter to try and maintain a bit of gas, because they certainly going to need it, and it was warm weather up there. So the Mzungu cramp was probably a sign in that last quarter that the players were out on their feet, and he certainly had to step up in the absence of Fife and Barlow out there, and he did a great job doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, obviously, like, the ball was a late call-up, and he sort of, worked pretty well, I thought, but probably the standout in the first half, and certainly leading the team in possessions as well, which you would have got a nice little tasty odds on, was with Taberner leading the possessions at half-time with 16. So he continued his form from the previous week, well, certainly in the second half against Hawthorn and Seppo, so it was pleasing to see him sort of starting to take that next step.
The thing that amazed me, that I didn't even realise he was still eligible for the Rousing Star nom until someone mentioned it. I'm like, oh, yeah, fits the criteria. It feels like he's been on our list a bit, even though it's only 2 years. But certainly you start to see now, after roughly 10 games he's played now, that he's actually starting to fill out his body and certainly run around the whole ground. It's interesting to see the actual heat map of where he's picked up his possessions all around the ground, rather than just acting as a deep forward. So be a great combination in a couple of years' time when you've got Taberner and Atness running around as a full forward and centre-half forward, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And just interesting when you mentioned that heat map, it was interesting today even having a look at all 16 teams, where Fremantle tend to have most of their entries pretty much 25 out directly in front, where Port were really, particularly Port Adelaide, which we'll get to later, had most of theirs sort of right on the 50 on the boundary. So certainly different styles, and obviously we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. Obviously the other probably important thing for Seppo was the fact that Walters started from the start of the game and just didn't look like he missed a beat, and just added that touch of class to our forward line, and certainly looked a lot more dangerous with him in there.
Yeah, he actually, I noticed looking at the coaches' votes, got more votes than Ballas, even though he probably didn't visually look like he had much of an impact, but certainly he was damaging with his kicks again, and Walters only needs a couple, and Adam missed a couple of shots that he could have made, and he kicked, I think, 3-2 or 3-3 in the end. That might have been Ballas' stats, but both of them, obviously as a combination, is just fantastic, and when you add extra guys like Crozier in there for a bit of extra oomph, It's certainly damaging the attack, and you can just see the East Coast media talk him up this week of his performance and how important a player like Walters is in the finals.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to, for what I mean, whether it's a coincidence or not, but Mayne sort of seems to have sort of grown an extra leg as well since Walters has returned, and just looks that little bit better, and probably playing in a bit more of that traditional forward line so that he was probably used to last year. And certainly be interesting to see how he goes on Saturday with that more traditional forward line with Pav and Tabiner, with the little three small guys with Crozier, Walters and Ballantyne running around in there as well. Any other midfield performances sort of stand out for you on the weekend, Seppo?
Not too much. I was sort of a bit disappointed with players like Neil and Subin, and probably De Bordable was solid, but I expected a bit more out of them in the absence of others. But Mundy and Mzungu seemed to carry the load, as well as Tabiner in that first half, actually getting a lot of touches and pushing ourselves forward. It was at least good to see that Sandy got through unscathed, and there was no real major injuries other than, I think, Mayne I saw limping, and Bella's worn himself ragged again at the end of the game, and Mzungu's cramp looks like he's going to be absolutely fine. So it was great to see those guys get through, and like Ross would say, just happy to bank the 4 points and move into next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other key thing was just the way that Lyon sort of in that second half sort of not put the cue in the rack, but he certainly didn't, play our best players in position. Like Mundy played a lot of the second half outside the centre square, and just seemed to, as you said, just doing enough to get the 4 points. And I think they realised that they weren't going to sort of get enough of a buffer or, advantage in the percentage anyway to worry about it. And I think they're pretty comfortable. And I don't know whether Lyon would be more comfortable just going in fact that they know they've got a win rather than having that sort of, whether it be a 10 or... I think it worked out that even if they won by 100, it would have been about a 12-point buffer, which is not a lot really in the end of the day. But it'll be interesting to see how they manage it this week, that's for sure. All right, we probably won't speak a lot about that game, Seppo. I think it's, as you said, pretty much spoke for itself. And as you said, probably the most pleasing thing was the 31 scoring shots, as you mentioned earlier. And just, a couple of weeks in a row now, we've scored 100-plus, and we're certainly looking at a lot more attacking side than we have in the last few weeks. Be interesting to see this week against Port whether they curtail that and play a lot more structure, and sort of you don't probably really want to get in a shootout with Port Adelaide, but it'd be interesting to see which way they go.
Yep.
All right, obviously two big ins for Fremantle this week, and all week there's been speculation probably about both ins, with Pavlich with his quad injury, who trained pretty well by all accounts this morning, and also Michael Barlow as well, who did all the training that was required this morning, including the match sims, and obviously got selected. So the two unlucky players were Matt DeBoer, who's been omitted, and Ibbotson as well, who's also been omitted. So, which is interesting considering he generally plays pretty well and plays that intercept marking role. So be interesting to see which way they go. And for the ins and outs for the Port side, Seppo, who have you got there?
We've got Jarman Impey coming into the side, and Cam O'Shea, the young defender, coming out. So just the one change for them. And they've got Carlisle playing his 150th game as a milestone.
Yeah, obviously they rested Impey last week, and I don't think he played Sandful either, so obviously they were, I know he played on Ballantyne last time they played them, but the interesting thing, obviously, in that game as well, we had no Walters there, so, and Ballantyne played a pretty good game, so it'll be interesting to see how they go with the smaller forwards in, that we've got there, because obviously they've got a few of their sort of regular players back in Carlisle, Trengrove and Homch and those sort of guys. Obviously the main... You'd think probably Crozier will end up getting the job on Pittard and trying to, or Mayne will, in terms of stopping Pittard's run out of defence. It's just hard to tell after last week, Seppo, because Carlton were really just that abysmal, but you couldn't tell whether they were abysmal or Port were very, very good. It's just it was just difficult to tell.
I think, you can't take too much out of that Carlton game last week. I think I watched a bit of it and watched how easily Port just cut around them, and I think Ross even made mention that Port scored a lot from turnovers, and we're just not going to let them happen. So it's an interesting game going in, and trying to read Port's form from last week is a bit hard. But I'm glad with those changes, and I suppose it's a bit unlucky for a player like De Boer and Ibbotson to both come out of the side. Ibbotson after coming in as a sub and still having a fairly good impact, but it could be for real structure when you look at how Port play, and obviously we didn't need him out there against Brisbane with their sort of lack of bigger key experience tools, but I suppose Port Adelaide have a similar thing, and we've got Dawson and Silvani to shut down Westhoff and Schultz, which I think they both, I'm not sure if they both got kept goalless, or at least one of them was last time we actually played them. So I suppose with Johnson in there, it's just probably just a bit hard to squeeze Ibbotson in there as well, so we can afford to keep him out of the side. And I suppose Matt De Boer was a lucky one that got his reprieve with an injured Matthew Pavlich, so it kind of makes sense for those two, but sort of a shame to see that there's no one really down at Peel that was pushing to get into this side. And there's a bit of talk about Morabito coming back in, especially with, you know, potentially Barlow and Fife missing, but now that Barlow's back, I suppose those guys are there, and those two are emergencies along with Hannah. So I probably can't see any late change. Might be De Boer gets a reprieve again for Barlow if his hand doesn't get up. By the certain way he's been training this week, looks like he's going to be right to play.
Yeah, just you know, the interesting thing you were mentioning there about the Port turnovers last week. Seppo, Port Adelaide got 16 goals, 10 from turnovers from Carlton out of their score of 20 goals, 20. So just sort of show, I mean, obviously Port pressure was good, but I mean, just Carlton were just throwing the, you know, just turning it over at will. And, you know, you just, I mean, one thing you can't do against Port is allow them to have that, just that open space. And as you said, when you turn over and just letting them, and certainly letting them get goal side as well, it was just a recipe for disaster, really.
And, especially for a running side, I think with the turnover, that means you're out of position, and it means that Port Adelaide can stream through quite quickly and move the ball. So that's what they're good at. And they certainly had a down patch recently, but so did we. And now they're sort of getting back closer to their 22, and it's going to be quite an interesting contest.
Yeah, it's been interesting, the sort of mind games that have been going on all week a little bit. You know, obviously a lot of Freo supporters, including out like many on the board, have talked obviously about the, you know, the impact the St Kilda loss had for us in terms of our top four aspirations. But the reality is, if you look the other way, Port were 10-1 halfway through the season. So, I mean, if you look at the way their form's dropped off, they, I mean, realistically, we shouldn't be in the top four position as it is if Port showed any sort of consistency throughout the year. So I think the boys have done pretty well to hang on. And, yeah, it'll certainly be interesting to see this week in terms of the matchups and the way they decide to run against Port. I mean, obviously we played them last year and beat them quite comfortably, but obviously we're probably moving a little bit better then, and probably Port weren't quite as strong, and having guys like Robbie Gray and that who have obviously taken a step up this year. I mean, the other interesting thing, Seppo, was probably that we've played 11 games to end the season, and we've had five of them at home and we've had six away, and we've won every game at home, five and zip, and we've 0-6 on the road. So you know, if you're a bit of an omen person, that certainly is a stat in the right
direction. It's a great
sign. But we'll see how it goes this week. Any obviously, the in the past, we've seen Crowley tend to go to Travis Boak. He's generally tended to be the matchup, and there's obviously been quite a bit of talk about who Crowley will go to this week. Who do you think he'll get the job on?
Well, I think if he's going to go to a damaging player, it's going to be someone like Robbie Gray, or not so much Boak, but obviously that is there as an option. So you'd think he'd have to go to Boak again. And I only see Robbie Gray as an option just because he's been damaging. And yeah, you'd split the difference between the two, and he might even do a half on each, depending on who's more effective at the time. But I think a lot of the other natural matchups work around the ground as they're listed on the team sheet. But it'll be, yeah, it's a big job for Crowley either way, whoever he's got. But Boak's the one that you can more likely let go, because he won't be as damaging as what a player like Gray can be.
Yeah, I couldn't think that Lyon would probably allow Crowley to get dragged forward by Gray. I think Gray's probably going to be a little bit too nimble in that forward 50. So you'd have to think if Gray maybe comes up to the inside the centre square, they may consider putting Crowley on him then. And then when he's not playing in the middle, just rotate him over to Boak. But I mean, the other one obviously is going to be Mzungu, and who he plays on. You'd have to think maybe Hartlett or Polek will be the choice of player that Mzungu will play on.
Yeah, you think Polek on the wing. I think when we played them at Adelaide Oval in a year, was the one that was running and really breaking the line. So I think Mzungu's got a great matchup there for someone that likes to run all day. I reckon Sutcliffe's another one that can go to maybe Hartlett if Mzungu's got Pollock. So there are some great runners we've got now in midfield that can go with those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, the other thing that's going to be quite interesting as well is if we look in the last time we played them in terms of the ruck and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, like, Lobb's been a very, very good ruckman for them this year and been giving them quite a lot of work in the hitouts. And, like, I think he had 56 hitouts last week. So, obviously, he was able to dictate a lot of the time where the ball was going, where I don't think he's going to obviously get that same ability in when going against Sanderland. So it'll be interesting to see how Port structure up in the middle of the ground when Lobb's obviously not going to be able to give them first use of the ball. And I think, you know, although Clark hasn't been terrific lately, I think he's certainly, as a second ruck, will certainly have an advantage over someone like Trengrove or Westhoff, who hasn't been 100% and was in a bit of doubt earlier in the week himself. Any other key matchups you think, Seppo, that you're looking forward to?
I'm quite interested to see with Tabana named if he gets one of the key tools like Carlisle or Broadbent or Trengrove or something like that, just to see how he performs again, you know, two or three weeks in a row. If he can have great form leading into the finals, it'll be quite interesting prospect for, you know, another chop out for Pav. And obviously Pav's now there. I think he got a monster a bit by two guys at once, I think, last time we played Port. So hopefully this is his chance to get another second tool in there, obviously as well as Clark and what Main will. But I think Taberner's providing a bit more of a contest than what Main has had to do and Clark has had to do in the past.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because obviously Clark played quite well in that first game. I think he kicked three goals the last time we played them. It was probably his most productive game in front of goals for the year, but certainly against a quality opposition. So it'll be interesting to see the, you know, when we're looking at the differences between the type. Obviously, we've got a few guys who aren't playing this time that did in the last game, like Subin. Obviously, got a reprieve last week, but obviously Fife will be a big loss for us. And Clancy Pierce played, I think, in the last one. And obviously, Walters is a key inclusion for us, and he certainly just makes us that little bit more dangerous. So it'll be interesting to see which way Frio goes. But with that, because obviously Silvani played in the last game, we didn't have McFarlane then either. So, it'll certainly be a battle of wills and different game styles, I think. So it'll be, you know, obviously Port look like they get an extra leg at home as well. So we'll obviously the Purple Army will need to be out in full force and just try and make sure that we make it a home ground advantage that we can sort of take advantage of.
Yep.
The other key matchups obviously will be their small forwards for Port Seppo with obviously Chan Wigard, Robbie Gray, Monfries and Need. So they've obviously got quite a number of small forwards down there. We have struggled a little bit against them in this year, and I think last time we played them, Wingard had a bit of a day out as well. So, and I think he ended up kicking five goals that day. So it'll be interesting to see how Fremantle learn from that from the last time and what steps they'll take to negate those smaller forwards a little bit this time.
And it's interesting, like when you talk about smalls, if you throw Need, Wingard, Monfries and even Gray all into the small basket, they've almost got four smalls and we've got only probably three small defenders capable of playing on them. Not sure how Johnson's going to go or playing loose if we need to get Sutcliffe back there to get another job on someone, because Sutcliffe did all right against the smalls of Brisbane. I think he had a couple of jobs on Green and McGrath and Louis Taylor. So it's good to see that we've got a bit of cover there, but obviously Wingard's the one that's can be the most lethal in front of goals at half a chance. So either Spur or Duffield's going to get the job on him, and they're going to have to really lock him down, and we're going to put pressure on them up the field, not to get him down to them, because they are certainly quality players, and it's going to be one way to stop Port from winning.
Yeah, I mean, the other interesting thing this week will be, and I think we saw a couple of weeks ago with Pavlich having a bit of an head knock. He just didn't look himself the week after, and I know that they cleared Jay Schultz pretty early in the week with concussion, but it'll be interesting to see how he comes out and plays this week as well, because Pav really didn't look himself for a, granted, he copped two knocks in a row, but he just didn't look himself until that Hawks game, really, where he looked back to his normal self. So it'll be interesting to see if it has any sort of lingering effect on Schultz, because obviously with Westhoff having to sort of, or Trengrove having to do that chop out in the ruck, it's going to be critical for them to have that taller target up forward for them, because if they don't if Fremantle are able to dictate and sort of stop the ball getting to ground, it's going to be very difficult, you'd think, for Port to kick enough goals if they don't have someone to provide that contest for them up forward.
Yeah, and when you actually look at their side, if Schultz doesn't actually get up, they've got O'Shea, Mitchell and Newton to all come across. And in terms of sizes, I'm not sure how big Ben Newton is, but the other two aren't exactly replacements for a key forward if they come out of their side, which makes them even smaller in general. So it's going to be quite interesting to see if Schultz actually does get up. Obviously, they've named him and they're quite confident, but certainly make a big difference. And that might even force our hand to make a change as well, just to match up. So
yeah, well, I mean, Ben Newton's only 6 foot, Seppo, so there's no way he'll certainly be playing in the key position role if one of their players, for whatever reason, didn't play. So so structurally-wise, they'd have to look at, you know, the way they work it. But, I mean, you think Schultz, if he was named that early, he'll be right to play. It's just going to be interesting to see if there is any lingering effect and whether he can play at 100%, that's all.
Yep.
The other, obviously, there's been a lot of talk this week, Seppo, in regards to the running ability of Port, and obviously they do move the ball across the ground very, very well, and obviously able to run into space. So it'd be interesting to see how Lyon coaches against that, and obviously just stopping Port being able to sort of change direction in particular, and then allowing them just to kick the ball over the back. So as you said, it'll be probably a little bit more like the Fremantle wall versus the sort of running brigade. So it'd be certainly interesting to see the way that Lyon attempts to negate Port's power or Port's strengths this week.
Yeah, certainly. I think we've got the opportunity to beat them in midfield, and I know a lot of Port people tend to overrate their midfield, and they do have some good quality players in there, and I suppose we're missing one of our best out there, but at least we've still got the core of Sanderlands, Mundy and Barlow, because they guys can certainly do some damage, and it's great to see Hill starting to find some form, a bit more confidence. The way he played when the game opened up in that last quarter, I think, against Brisbane, he really was a shining light again. So hopefully he can have a bit of dominance through there to be able to quick kick through Port side, as well as Daniel Pearce. Hopefully he just steps up. You know, this time of year, you didn't want him to go missing through finals, because it's just important to have a player that can be really quick when the game sort of drags out. That you know, the damaging foot from either of those two really make a difference.
Do you think Kane Corns will end up going to Stephen Hill, or do you think they'll use Corns?
He's probably not quick enough anymore, I reckon. I don't know who else they've got to really go through there. If Andrew Moore's another type of tagger, if they'll run him through the guts with him. But
well, the other option they have is they could probably play Matt White on him. He'll obviously have the speed, but it'll be interesting to see if you know, they try and rely on his speed to open up other teams, but obviously you get hurt on the counter, particularly if you've got someone like Hill, who's just got that ability to use the ball so well. So the other obviously key matchup for Fremantle, obviously, well, you'd have to think Impey would play on Ballantyne based on last time. So do you think Jonas will end up getting the job on Walters, or do you think they'll... Or who else do you think they could play down in that role? Or do you think Kane Corns might get the job on him and they'll play Corns in that sort of defensive role?
You'd think they'd go Jonas and Walters. Obviously, higher up the ground, if he's playing there, it might be Ballantyne that gets Jonas. But either way, I think we can expose them. Whoever Walters and Ballantyne's aren't really marked by, there's a great opportunity there. And for Walters to be, I think, playing with Ballantyne again in front of a home crowd, I think it's going to be a big way to winning this game. And I think even just the home crowd factor, I think, is going to be big compared to last time we played Port, because they've certainly developed a great home ground fortress there, and everyone keeps on rating how it's the best in the AFL. But I think we've got the second best if you're looking at a home crowd advantage and what they can do. So like you were saying earlier about the key stats of the last home game of the season by Freo and the great record, this home crowd is going to make certainly a big difference. And, you know, providing we win by 1 point or 100 points, I don't see it really affecting our further finals plans. And it's interesting just having a look at the other results that could go away on the weekend when you've got Collingwood playing Hawthorn. You know, if Collingwood get up by some miraculous, you know, margin of, say, 30 points, and we can beat Port by, you know, 60 or 70 points, we can actually jump over Hawthorn.
Yeah, I think that's going to be quite wishful thinking.
A bit of wishful thinking, yeah. But you think the more likely foregone conclusion is we'll be finishing fourth and playing Sydney. So even with, you know, Brisbane possibly getting over the top of Geelong, that's one other option that we could end up playing the Hawks, finish third. But as it stands, it does look like we're going to be going to play Sydney next week if we can get past Port, and it's going to be great to see Fife come back after a week off.
Yeah, it's interesting that a lot of the pundits have been talking up Port, and even tonight on league teams, I think all bar Dermot Bird and pick Port Adelaide to win. But yet the betting market says that Fremantle's $1.45 favourite and Port are $2.75. I think obviously Port were, I think, $3 at the beginning of the week, which I thought was probably a little bit overs. Probably good value if you think Port are a chance of winning. But obviously Port have trimmed up a little bit and we've drifted a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see if that changes with the inclusion of Pavlich and Barlow into the side. We certainly look a lot stronger with them in there. I mean, obviously, we have to see whether Barlow, first of all, can play and what impact it's going to be like playing in a finals-like atmosphere rather than just sort of doing it at a training level, because I think it's going to be crucial for him to be able to be in there. I mean, a lot of the work he does is around the ground as well, just giving us that outlet and just running all day. So, but his ability to go forward in inside 50 and get and mark is one of the crucial things, and that's obviously an area we've going to miss Fife this week in particular, his ability to go forward and provide that extra target. But that is offset a little bit by the ability of having Walters back and those smaller forwards, and even Tabin are providing a target as well. All right, any other points you want to bring up, Seppo, for this week before we...
No, other than the fact that I won't be going down to my usual pub to watch this. I'm celebrating my birthday on Saturday night, even though it was earlier in this week. I'm having a couple of people around for a barbecue, so I'll be sitting down at home watching the game and then hopefully celebrating after that with a couple of drinks. So hopefully Freo do the right thing and give me a good reason to celebrate on Saturday afternoon. And will you be getting down to the game yourself there, Centurions?
Yeah, mate, absolutely. I'll be there and haven't missed one for a while, so quite a few years. So,
What's the weather forecast looking like at the moment? Is it going to be a nice warmish day, or is it going to be...
It's going to be raining tomorrow, so the thing is going to be quite stormy tomorrow, but then it should be clearing up after that. So I don't think the weather should be an impact, like a factor at all, really.
If anything... chance of rain will probably actually suit us, just to slow down the rate at which Port go and provide a bit of a slippery ball, actually help our guys.
So. I think it's only supposed to be like 19, 20 degrees with a little bit of rain. I think there's a 5 to 10% chance, or 90% chance of 5 to 10 millimetres. So, but I think most of that's in the morning. So there will be probably maybe a little bit of a shower. I don't know whether that helps us or hinders us. Like, obviously, we'll have the big bodies in there. But with obviously the ball hitting the ground with our smaller guys, and we're used to playing in the wet as well, so it will certainly stop their Port's running ability if it is a wet game, that's for sure.
Yeah, shit.
Right, so
if we're going to look at the eight and how it finishes, what do you reckon is going to be the chance of West Coast sneaking into the eight, or do you think it's going to be Adelaide?
Well, it's a hard one to say. I mean, obviously West Coast, they've got to have a few things go their way. But, I mean, I think it's pretty clear to most pundits that really the first five teams in the, regardless of which way they finish, whether it's even Port or Fremantle, the top five teams I think are a class above. Then I think probably North Melbourne are a little bit above the next two, and then you've really got Essendon. And I think, to be honest with you, I mean, Richmond will probably be a bit more dangerous in finals, you would think them. But if West Coast have to go to Port Adelaide, or even if they have to play us, worst case scenario, I can't see them getting out of the first week. I mean, the thing that's probably going to hurt Port a little bit as well is if it goes according to favouritism, obviously we would win on Saturday and then Port would probably play West Coast and beat them. If we lost to Sydney, then Port would have to come back and play us again in another 2 weeks' time over at Subiaco again. So that would be certainly an interesting scenario, and so obviously one they wouldn't be pleased about. But I think I think the boys have got themselves, the mindset that this is, final start now. And, regardless of whether you think a team can win outside the five or not, the fact and figures are that if we don't get in the top four, it's going to be very, very tough for us to make it to the last day in September, which is going to be obviously very disappointing. But I think the boys were able to go out this weekend and probably get the job done. Obviously, our old mate is on the whistle again this week, Seppo, so hopefully they'll...
Yeah, you've got Margetts as well as Nichols. I'm not sure who's the worst out of the two. I don't mind Meredith, the third umpire there, but yeah. It's going to be quite interesting just to see if the crowd can influence a couple of those 50-50 decisions and we don't get too many. And the worst thing, I don't care about umpiring on the day. It's more the tribunal and the MRP that irritates me now when it comes to games. So it doesn't matter who's got the whistle on the mouth. It's the people after that make decisions. It's the hard thing. So I'll take those guys that are named there and let's just say the home factor
and you just want through. And you said you just want the best team to win out there. And I think that's the it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, it'll be both teams will be certainly leaving nothing on the table. So it'll be interesting to probably see that to make sure that the aggression's a bit more controlled because obviously you don't want anyone going out with another huge game coming up in the next week. And obviously we've got a couple of guys who are on a bit of a loading. So we just need to make sure that obviously when we play, we just concentrate on getting the ball and doing the right thing. I think the first 30 minutes will be a real indicator of which way this game will go. And if Fremantle are able to get out early and really sort of, you know, show that trademark pressure and really put it under the Port under the pump, then I think it'll go a long way to winning the game. I know Port are playing a lot better. I mean, they haven't beaten us since 2008 at Perth. So, and obviously, as I said, we had a pretty comfortable win against them last year, but that was last year, as they say, and this is a different ball game. So, but I think that the other important thing, Seppo, is the fact that the experience Fremantle had last year from their finals experiences will probably be a factor as well in this game. I think just having that mental ability, going down a skilled stadium last year and obviously the game against Swans and even the grand final experience, you know, that stuff you can't buy really. So hopefully it'll hold them in good stead.
Certainly after the way that we played last year against Geelong and got that win and even just, like you said, the experience in the grand final, they probably have even learned something this year to hold a bit more into the tank to get us through those big games. And you can almost see this year that we've had a almost less than impressive home and away season compared to last year, but almost fear now that their time and their run well. And if we turn it up like we did at the last round of last year, you know that they've even learnt from last year and they're going into this final series better prepared and ready for some action. So really looking forward to this. And if we do lose, it's probably not looking too good, but I'm going to go and throw my tip in for Freo to win by a comfortable 36 points.
You are confident. I'm not going to go quite that confident. I think Fremantle will win by 15 this week. But, you know, we definitely need big games from Zach Clark this week, I think. And just those ability of those boys to... we probably just need to make sure we don't muck around with the ball too much in that back 50. A couple of times we've sort of been exposed when we've been overusing the ball in there and that sort of stuff. And you just can't afford to do that this week. But I think, as you said, if we come out and play our best footy, I think our best footy is good enough to win, even without Fife and obviously McFarlane out there. But as you said, it will be game on, and it'll certainly be a cracking atmosphere there, that's for sure. And let's hope that the Purple Army comes forward and does it. Any other points you want to bring up, Seppo, for the board this week before we finish up?
No, good luck to everyone that might be in their fantasy or Supercoach finals, last home and away game of the season, and... look forward to discussing finals next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the sort of end of the season's come around quite quickly. And as I said, let's hope next week we're discussing the Fremantle versus Sydney matchup. So, but that's it for this week. And everyone, say thanks again for joining us, Seppo. It's great to have you on board.
No worries. And look forward to speaking to you next week.
Absolutely. And we'll catch everyone again next week, and let's hope that, as I said, that Fremantle will get up and consolidate its spot in the top four. Enjoy the game if you're going there, and for obviously those people on in Perth, I'm a bit frustrating with a two-hour delay for those people on watching it on free-to-air, so hopefully you can get down to the pub or to a mate's place who's got Foxtel and enjoy the game. That's it for this week, and we'll catch you again next week. Bye for now.